Well, let's get in the Word, shall we?
Yes, amen.
We started a series a couple of weeks ago called The Journey. The Journey. We're all on a journey through this life, some short, some long. But they all have a beginning and they all have an end. When you get born again, you begin this journey, and God sets us on this path of righteousness. Right? Psalm 23:3. Jesus, at that point, begins to lead us on the path of righteousness. Now, we get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That happens automatic. That when we get born again, then he sets us on this path. And then it's our choice how we want to walk this path. We want to follow his lead, or do we want to do our own thing, or how do we want to do this? This is all part of the journey. The journey, every journey takes a path. It's either going to be in righteousness or unrighteousness, one or the other. This is not to be condemning. This is just to show us the choices that we have. This is to show us the reality of what we have. And through this series, I'm going to touch on things that are not typically touched on in our grace teaching. Because typically, we don't get the whole word. Y'all in agreement?
Amen.
We really don't. Here's the issue. We need the whole word and the continuity of the whole word to understand how this life under grace works. I don't know about you all. I want to get it.
Amen.
I don't want to have things happen in my life or come in my life and go, I didn't know that was a part of this. I didn't understand that this was a part of this. I didn't understand that this could happen. I didn't understand how to deal with this. The whole point of church is to be able to bring in, this is not just, you know, we're not just touching on kind of the things that we all want to hear regularly and growing. I mean, I want to hear about healing, right? I want to hear about prosperity. I want to hear about freedom and deliverance. I want to hear about my righteousness. I want to hear about my new identity. Absolutely, and we're to be grounded in those, but I want to hear about the rest of it too, and how it affects my life, and what do I do? So our church is kind of a how-to church. It's really how to operate in the Word, how to operate under grace, how to operate in this life, and what to expect. Now, sometimes our path of righteousness, which we choose, we do this by our desire. We do this because we want to. We don't have to do it. We do it because we want to, because we understand God's goodness, God's what he's given us by his favor. We understand this. And you know what? I want to walk with him, because innately we are made to want to know God and to walk with him. That's the journey. So it requires that we go on this path of righteousness and start walking. Now, you can choose to stay stuck and stay in one place. You can choose to stay on baby food. You can choose to, any one of us can do this. We can choose to run on this path. We can choose to walk, and we can, but you know what? As long as he's leading and we're following, we're moving forward, we're growing in grace. We're growing in the understanding of how this all works. Now, there's obstacles in the path. It's just, anybody know that it's not always smooth? Doing the right thing? It isn't. I told you about the parking lot, what I wanted to do. Get away from me, township. I'm just going to do it and ask forgiveness later. That's not the right part of righteousness. Nope, I'm going to do what the word says. Submit to governing authorities. Okay. It's not always easy. There's obstacles in the way on this path of righteousness. But when we meet those obstacles, and like rock climbing. Colorado, there used to be a lot of people who would rock climb. I don't know if that happens here or not. But they get out there and they climb these sheer rocks. And it's a big obstacle. And that's what I always think of when I'm hitting something. And when we meet these obstacles, we climb these obstacles, it causes us to exercise our righteousness by our choice and get stronger and get refined. Our light gets brighter. The reality of our faith increases. Our expectation of the power of God grows and His grace to us grows. This is all things that happen. Okay, this is just a micro look. It's all part of growing up. So the path comes with a map. It comes with instructions. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. Fairly familiar to most of us. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable and prosperous for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. If you've ever wondered what reproof is, reproof is proof that convicts. In the Greek, it's proof that convicts. For correction and for instruction in righteousness. That the man or woman of God may be complete. Complete. Not incomplete. Thoroughly, fully equipped for every good work. It is the word that is our manual, our map with the instructions to walk this path of righteousness on our journey from our first breath to the last. What is and what is not righteousness is outlined in His word. So we kind of know this. In following the directions, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. And I'm just going to kind of read this. I've got a main point I want to get to here. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, every person, teaching us that denying ungodliness, he's speaking about our lives, and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. There are those that teach in grace, the understanding of grace. Do whatever you want to do, because you can. But why would you want to? There are those in grace that teach, do it because, and I want to use Paul's explanation in Romans chapter 6, because where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So go ahead and just keep sinning. Just keep doing it. I'll just hurt you. That's all. That's not what living in righteousness and walking this righteous path is. This is our choice to live this path, walk this path of righteousness. God has outlined a difference between light and dark, or godliness and ungodliness. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. For you, all of us, were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We were. He's saying we were. In us, every part of us was ungodly, unrighteous, and now we're light in the Lord. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we can't. 1 John says you can't sin. I mean, you can sin with your mind or your body, but your spirit can't sin. It's all wrapped up and sealed with the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Period. And we are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Righteousness carries the blessing. Unrighteousness, ungodliness, choosing to go off the path, which we do sometimes. All it does is bring consequences, negative consequences for us. It is a part of growing. You don't want to stay there. There's always a way back, and it's repentance. Repentance is changing the way you think. That's what repentance is. Oh, I was thinking this way. Now I'm thinking this way. Oh, it's okay. I'm okay not to do the parking lot under the radar. I'm good to to do it your way, Lord. It's just, that's repentance. Then Jesus, I want to backtrack for a minute and go to John's gospel, okay? In John's gospel, Jesus was saying to his disciples, and that's us, then and now, I got to go. I got to get out of here. If I don't go, the Helper can't come. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. If I don't go, then it's just me and one-on-one, or me and a handful, or me and a few thousand. That's it. But you see, this is for the whole world. He is for the whole world. It's his time. If I don't go, he can't come. Then he says, John 16, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come, after I've gone, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Now here's where we get down to the nitty-gritty. You see, the Holy Spirit is in you. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that's brought salvation. The Holy Spirit of righteousness is in you. It's in me. Anybody that's born again. God has made you his righteousness. Wow. That still blows me away. Made us his righteousness. Our living in righteousness. Our drawing the line in the sand and not living like the world does. Not embracing everything the world says is good and right. Our being different, like I talked about last week, separates us from the world. It does draw the line in the sand. It is the outward sign of his righteousness in us. That is what convicts the world of sin, shows them his righteousness. You know, sadly, this is the way the Lord's going to reach some people, that there is a judgment that comes. There just is. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, one of my favorite faith heroes, I got some lot of faith heroes, but he was one of my early ones, and Smith Wigglesworth lived a life of what I'd call separation. He wouldn't even let a newspaper come into his house. Anything that was contrary to the word, anything that had the world in it, he separated himself from that. He just read the word. He just loved God. He spent time with God. He was an evangelist. This is a lot of what people forget about. He was a tremendous evangelist. And he had a healing ministry that was incredibly powerful. This is back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Now, Smith, this is in England, was on a train one day, got onto a train, and as he came into the train, he came to his cabin, and there were two other men sitting there, and they were both ministers. He walked into the cabin. This is all documented. And they both cried out. One of them fell on the floor on his face and said, "You convict me of sin." He didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. But you see, the righteousness that was in him was the righteousness that he followed on the path. He lived this way. That righteousness exposed what these gentlemen, whatever it was, that they were hiding. This is a part of what God's called us to. Now, you know, I've always wanted to do something like that. You know, I'm just going to be real, okay? I'd love to walk into a building and have somebody say, "I'm convicted of sin." Well, it hasn't happened yet, okay? I'm not there. Because I know my life is not on this path of righteousness, just being real, okay? My life is not where Smith's was. I am thirsting for this path to be an even greater part of my life. And it's what I'm pursuing every day, every day, every day for 40 years. And the more I go, the harder I go after this lifestyle of righteousness and this stand in righteousness, because I want people to see the gospel in me. I want them to see the righteousness of God. I want them to know Him through me, but it isn't just through my words or just my actions. It's all of His being a part of my life. That's what I want. I'm the first one to say I'm not there yet, but I'm going farther ahead. There was a man who, this is speaking about the Holy Spirit convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. There was a man who, maybe you read about him. It's appropriate that Yari and Teresa are here today. His name is Brian Sims. Y'all heard his name? Brian Sims is a state representative in Pennsylvania who is a practicing homosexual, state representative, an LGBTQ advocate, and a bully. He went and there was a very elderly lady and a couple of very young teenage girls just praying in the legal area outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic. And he went to them. And I want to say it went beyond harassment. It was as caustic as it could be. It was absolute bullying to the max. These helpless ladies. Now, he put them on camera. He did all kinds of things. He intentionally bullied them. Now, it didn't get presented in the news that way. He's a bully. Let me tell you something about bullies. Usually, emotionally, they're hurting severely. Now, somebody's a counselor that, yeah, I want to tell you this, that they're hurting severely. They've had a lack in their life, and they've made up for it by anger and intimidation and bullying. Now, that's what I personally believe with him. But you see, what they did, what the ladies did outside the Planned Parenthood clinic was they convict people just being quiet and praying. The Holy Spirit in them, in this righteousness path they're on, convicted people of him, this particular Brian Sims, of sin and righteousness and judgment. Unrighteousness hates godliness because of what it shows them. Even though it is God's mercy and love reaching out to them to show them, hey, listen, you're trapped in this. I want to rescue you. They don't see it that way. Ungodliness hates righteousness. Period. The world does not like godliness, the secular world, because it reminds them of sin and righteousness and judgment. Because in the end, this is a reality. Everybody's journey ends one place or the other, one way or the other. We are the only gospel much of the world is going to read. I want to reference another one, just the state of Colorado against Masterpiece Cake Shop, Cake Bakers. The state of Colorado, the board that determined to go after this cake maker for saying, you know, it's against my principles as a Christian to make a cake celebrating a homosexual wedding. It just is. So I'd rather you go down the street. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. But you see, Colorado bullied him and tried to bully him as a Christian, standing and walking and living in righteousness. They tried to run him over. And the Supreme Court upheld his right. Now, saying all these things, unrighteousness, ungodliness, hates godliness, hates righteousness. So on this path of righteousness, we can either shut up about Jesus and righteousness and his lordship and his love and his ability, his grace to reach the world, or and not draw any line in the sand, and we can just kind of go along, or we can make a stand for righteousness. This is all under grace. The result of the conviction of the Holy Spirit to the world through us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You ever wonder why people are hating Christians more and more? Because more Christians are finally making a stand in this path of righteousness, and they hate it because it reminds them of what's coming. Reminds them of what the results are if you stay living in ungodliness. We want them to be reached. He wants them to be reached more. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. This is one of the promises of God. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Right? Here's a promise. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Here's the issue. This is my main point. I'm going to wrap up. The Western Church does not teach about persecution. We don't teach this stuff. I've never taught on persecution till today. You want to lose people in a church? You want to, you know, in a ministry, tell them about persecution. You will be persecuted. If, please hear me on this, if you desire to live godly and righteously on this path of righteousness in your journey, because this is all personal, you will be persecuted. Persecution is hostility. It is absolute hostility against you for being a Christian, for being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, for being the demonstration of righteousness in this world. You will be persecuted. Hostility will take place against you. The Eastern churches, this is all the Western churches teach, we don't teach anything on this normally. The Eastern churches teach and prepare people that you're going to get persecuted. They're going to hurt you. They're going to come against you. And you know, they get them armed in their minds and in their hearts and their understanding. The persecution is part of this. It's part of what's given to a Christian as a representative of Jesus Christ under grace in this world. And they go willingly, considering it a privilege, to be persecuted for the cross, for salvation's sake, for Jesus. We don't do that. We are not Christian America anymore. You all know we are losing our rights. And it's going to be more. And we're going to lose more. And people are going to come against us more. It is important that we understand, if we're going to walk this path of righteousness in our journey and be this light to the world, we're going to get persecuted. Like Brian Sims did to those helpless little ladies. I want to tell you, my first reaction when I read that was, this is the first thought that went through my head. I'd like to jump on him and pummel him to the ground. Ooh, that's a pastor speaking. Yeah, I would have liked to do that. You know what? And that was my first reaction. That was my first, because what the Lord showed me was I had not really been prepared, armed in my mind, my heart, to understand that persecution was coming. My first thought, if I was ready for this and been taught about it and had been understanding this as a part of my life, my walk, then I would have said, you know what? Persecution is a part of the walk. How do I handle this when I go through it? How do I do this? How, Lord, for them? Now, I'm not saying that. I'm going to say, as a man, we are called to defend the weak. Okay? You understand, right? We are called to defend the weak. Men? But as Christians, just overall, we have to understand that persecution is a promise if we're going to live righteously. The hostility towards Jesus, all the hostility towards Christians in the book of Acts, if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and just the Inquisition, hundreds of years that happened to Christians, brothers and sisters, horrible, terrible things. They were persecuted for a life of righteousness. Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry we as a church support. Rosie and I support personally. It's the Eastern churches that prepare their people for this. It is important we understand this. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Again, it is the only gospel, our path of righteousness, that the world, most of the world, is going to read. And it will either bring them in, or they're going to persecute us, one or the other. So here it is. This is the wrap up. It is important in understanding that those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus under grace will be persecuted. It is important to understand it. And this is where we don't want to do, accept it. Man, I never wanted to. But we have to. The Western churches are changing. The Western culture is changing. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14 says to us, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. This is the way that the ungodly, those that don't know the Lord, that's the ungodly, will see him. And I'm going to cap with this. Because Paul, if you've read the book of Acts and you've read Paul's letters, you know he went through tremendous persecution for the gospel. How did he do it? How'd you do this? How'd you handle this? Who wants to go through this stuff? It will be a part of our lives. So upon acceptance of the fact that we're going to be persecuted, we do it in his grace, not in our own strength. This is out of the Passion Bible. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 through 10. But the Lord answered me after Paul said about all these things. He said, my grace is always more than enough for you. And my power finds its full expression through your weakness. So I will celebrate my weaknesses, for when I am weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. For when I feel my weakness and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded by troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. Accept that it's going to happen. Go through it in his grace. Prayer team, come on up, please. We all stand with me, please. These are sobering things. No doubt about it. Not something I look forward to, but it's a fact of life. It's a fact of this path of righteousness in this journey that we're taking. So, close your eyes with me, please, for just a moment. And if this is in your heart, great. I'm going to pray this for all of us. Father God, in Jesus' name, today, this day, I draw my line in the sand. I accept the fact that I will be persecuted for desiring to live godly as you lead me down this path of righteousness for your name's sake. I accept it, Lord. Lord, I'm asking you to help me, each one of us, that this is on our heart, to do this, walk through it, endure the persecution by your grace, your capability, your power, your favor, your love, who you are, to live out who I am in you till the end. From this time on, let me never be surprised that persecution comes and I may be a recipient. Help me remember your word and stay on the path all the way through. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.